You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 119. I have a feeling that this episode is going to be one of the most popular, shared around episodes for a few months. It's an exceptional one. It's a beautiful dream. It's a lovely guest. It's a great conversation. The alchemy that we came up with is still in front of my eyes. You're just going to love listening to this one. And how do I know this? It's because, of course, we do the dream interpretation and record the conversation with the guest, and then we come back and put the beginning of the show on. As usual, as you know, when we have a guest, I have no idea what the dream is going to be until they tell me the dream. So our guest today is Lee, and she tells me the beautiful dream. We interpret it. We work out why she had the dream, what's happening in her life to bring up the dream, what she can learn about herself due to the dream, and how she can apply what she learns about herself from the dream in her waking life to make sure that her hopes and her plans and her goals work out well for her. And along the line, of course, we have some dream alchemy. So I know you're absolutely going to love that. The little bits of news, a lot of you have been asking me to put my books onto Kindle, onto Amazon at Kindle. It's Kindle eBooks. That's now been done. So you can get to those either by going through the shop on my website, or of course you can go to Amazon and just, you know, do a search on Jane Theresa Anderson and all my books will come up, including my Kindle ones. So thank you very much to those of you that pushed me to get them on Kindle. It was a big task, but they're out there now and I'm delighted. So please do enjoy them. And if you don't know what we're talking about Kindle, and you haven't got a Kindle reader yourself, you can download for free programs for your PC, your Mac, your iPad, whatever. You just download a Kindle reader thingy and you will be able to buy my Kindle books and read them on that. But I'm sure you all know what that is. The important websites we have to mention before going on to Lee's interpretation are all mine. This is not a sponsored show. but just go to, if you want more information about me and what I do, or you want to explore both our free resources and the various services and books, etc., that we have on offer, go to www.dream.net.au. Or if you're just interested in the blogging kind of side of things, I blog generally once a week, go to www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or go to Facebook, or go to our special podcast website, which is no W's. It's just called The Dream Show.tv. And I don't think there's anything else we've got to say, so I won't use up any more of your time, because let's go straight to the most important thing about the Dream Show, and that is interpreting a dream. Here's what we've just been recording with Lee. Welcome to the Dream Show, Lee. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself, Jane Theresa?
Yeah, I'm really well. We're just at the beginning of summer and it's just beautiful to begin to be able to shed a few clothes and enjoy the sun and the warmth and the bird song, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm in Brisbane as well and the birds are starting to really come out.
Yeah.
The magpies are starting to swoop as well, have you noticed?
For everyone listening worldwide, I'm sure magpies are in many countries, but not all. But yeah, this is the season where we have to go around sometimes if we're cyclists, which I'm not, but with ice cream containers on our heads with things sticking out of them to stop magpies coming down and swooping and pecking at us. but all is well with the world. Have you got, I bet you've got lots of dreams, and I bet you've had difficulty deciding which one to ask me about today, have you?
I have, but I've narrowed it down to one that I had a few nights ago.
Oh, brilliant.
So,
give me the dream.
Well, it's in four segments. I'm not sure if it's all different dreams or all the same dream, but we shall see. I think that there's a person who comes up in a few of them. It's not someone I know, but it's the same sort of energy around that person.
Oh, good.
So maybe that means they're all part of the one. I'm not too sure. Now, I've written it down, so I'll read it out to you.
Wonderful.
Okay, so I'm in a small town in China and a poet's been murdered. And I come across some parts of the body and they look like minced meat. And I move them to a more prominent place so that they can be easily found. Basically, where they initially were, I feel that no one's going to discover them. And so I move them. But in the way I rearrange them, they look more like somebody's barbecue preparations than part of a dead body. And then when I walk past the body bits with a person, it's an older man who's showing me around this town in China, he comments that there's somebody's barbecue things. So that's the first segment. Then I'm younger and I make friends with a girl who's my own age and we're fishing and she explains to me that even though she'd like us to hang out more, within her cultural and family traditions, that can't happen. But if we're fishing, then we're fishing and we can hang out together because we're fishing.
Mm.
And then I tell her that I once loved someone who could catch fish without putting bait on a line. And I had this beautiful image in my dream of this hook travelling through the water and kind of dancing, and it captivates this really large, beautiful Chinese goldfish that swims after it and I presume is caught.
Mm.
So that's the second one. Then yeah. I'm going out for dinner at a formal restaurant and I'm walking to the restaurant with someone who's captivated or fascinated by somebody who I think is really boring. And I have a feeling that the person I'm walking to the restaurant with is the same older man who was in the first segment.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what I'm doing here with this person. And when we arrive, there's about 14 people around a formal table and I don't recognize any of them. From people in my waking life, but in my dream they feel like they're acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bottle of wine, and I know that there's some significance about this bottle of wine, but I'm not sure if the significance is that I'm just not sure if that's enough wine to go around or if I'm amazed that this one bottle did actually go around the 14 people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then the last one, I'm at school, and it's no school that I've attended, or it doesn't resemble any of my classrooms or playgrounds, etc. And there's a class that's to be had in the science room, and basically within this room there are no windows. The class that's going to be held is actually an English or a literature class. So we all go in, and the teacher she's outside and she's wearing a jumper and she's talking about how freezing it is in the class. But when we all go inside, we're just so happy that it's a bit cooler, and some of the guys even take their shirts off. And then I'm reciting a story from a book, and the story is about four brothers, but I don't remember any of the details about the story except for how the page looks. And the brothers' names have been abbreviated within the story, but for some reason I actually know the brothers' names, and so when I tell the story, I read the actual names.
Mm.
And then I wake up.
Mm. Wow, beautiful recall there too. I love that. I'm smiling at lots of things in that dream, Lee, but I'm smiling at the last bit when you said, almost the sort of boring bit of the whole thing, when you said, oh, the teacher was standing outside and she was saying, oh, it's freezing in there, but, you know, we were quite happy it was cooler, and we went inside and we were taking our jumpers off, and she was the English teacher, and I'm thinking, that's really weird, because that's what I said to you at the beginning of the show. Oh, you know, me being English, living in Australia, oh, isn't it nice now we're taking off our jumpers because it's getting warm.
Yeah, that's...
So, to some extent, I must have been tuning into your dream already, though why I tuned into that bit when there was so much else exciting and magical and mystical going on, I do not know. showcase lots of absolutely wonderful things, and I can see that the four sections or the four mini dreams are connected because there's connecting themes, which I'm sure you know you've got that feeling too. And obviously, I'm going to ask some questions as well. That China thing that came up in the first dream, that you know, mm-hmm. it was about the poet that had been murdered in a Chinese town, and then I think the essence of China came up somewhere. The Chinese goldfish that you you got online later. So does China have any specific significance for you? Have you lived there or do you have any cultural connection with China? Just so
not
we know.
Really, not really.
Okay. So if you think of China as a country, what, you know, and if countries have different personalities, what would you put as the personality of China? Just in your, without thinking too hard, just your quick, oh, China is...
Mystical,
mm-hmm.
harsh, and exotic.
Hmm. That's a lovely combination, mystical, harsh, and exotic. Why is it harsh?
Because of its history, I guess.
Yeah, its history. Okay, that's lovely. So amongst its mystical harshness and exoticness, it's therefore, I guess, works really well with the dream that there's a poet murdered, because the poet would be perhaps mystical and exotic, but something harsh happened in history because he was murdered.
So
we're right on the theme there. I'm going to come back to that. We've also got that beautiful, in the second dream, that lovely mystical thing of being able to catch the fish without the bait. It's an entrancement, an enhancement. You managed to, you were telling the story of being able to catch that fish just by the way that you danced the hook. So rather than a bait, it was like a captivation. You know, you captured the fish in that part of the dream by captivating it, in a sense, with a dance. And the reason I'm jumping on the word captivating was because that was in the third little dream. You were walking with someone who was captivated by someone. Although that was someone that you thought was boring. I'm just going to draw a thread before we interpret. And there's lots of magical mystery going through, especially the first three dreams. And therefore, it's quite interesting that in the last dream, you come into a science classroom, which, you know, some people would say, I guess most people would say that science is captivating and mystical in some sense, but you know, in another sense, it's kind of very boring and staid and practical. And yet in that last dream there, you've got some really amazing and interesting things going on in that part of the dream. So there's kind of like a thread running through of mystical and magical things, and also of understanding. And there's a balance that there's some things that are captivating and awesome and mystical, and there are other things that are question mark, boring, or barbecue preparation, or, you know, sort of straight down the line. So we're going to go through the dreams. I was just picking that out before we begin. Now, in any dream always reflects what's been happening in the 24 to 48 hours, 8 hours before. So you said you had this dream about two or three nights ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
So as we look at this, we're looking immediately at what happened before that. So, you know, 4 or 5 nights ago, 5 days ago.
Nothing very out of the usual. I've been...
Perhaps you shouldn't tell me at this stage. Perhaps we should look for it in the dream, but you bear those couple of days in mind and then we'll see if you can correlate. Yeah, I was just fixing it in your mind when that's going to be. So we're going to take the first dream, Lee, as the kind of, what I'm going to do is run them together as if they were one dream, and we're going to take the first dream as the opening. So you've got this sense at the beginning of the dream that there's a sense of China and there's a sense that a poet has been murdered. So everything in a dream relates to some aspect of yourself. So you see China as mystical and exotic, yet it's got a kind of harsh history. So this is a part of yourself that feels that maybe you're in touch with something mystical and exotic, but you've arrived at this state of being through a harsh and difficult history. So to me, what's springing to mind there is a kind of perhaps, you know, like a spirituality or a new perception and understanding of the world, that is the kind of understanding or the kind of spirituality that blossoms for us when we have come through tough times. You know, you have to have a harsh history or difficult or trying circumstances to come to a point where you suddenly see and feel things differently. So there's that sense at the beginning that you, at the time of the dream, you're investigating perhaps your spirituality, perhaps your creativity, perhaps a sense of mystery or a sense of awe, a sense of wonder in your life. But what's coming to mind for you is something harsh and difficult from the past. It's like the poet in me has been murdered. I'm recognizing that there is something in me that was poetical or could enjoyed, you know, creativity to some extent, has felt like it's been murdered, but I'm getting back in touch with that now, and I'm going to move this area into more prominence in my life because it's been forgotten. You know, like in the dream, the poet's murdered body parts had been, were hidden from view. And what you did in the dream was say, oh, I want to pick out just some of these, not all, but some of them, and I want to move them and make them more prominent. I want to rearrange them so that they will be discovered. That was the first part of the dream. So it's almost like you're looking back. There's some aspects of my spirituality or my mysticism or my creativity or even my way with words, if it's a direct association with a poet, that have been killed off in the past. And I want to bring some of that, not all of that, just parts of that forward. And I'm kind of not really feeling that assertive strong about saying, hey, look, everybody, look at this. I'm bringing this out into public now. It's more like, if I just kind of move them around here, they might be discovered. So it's that feeling that you're subtly moving pieces of something that you've killed off in the past more into view now, with a hope that they'll be discovered. And there already we've got a balance between what is kind of mystical and exotic and you being ready to bring this forward and discover it more. I want to understand something that's slightly mystical, slightly exotic, bring it more out into the light, discover it more, see what's underneath it, make sense of it. So just before we go any further, are you okay with this so far?
It makes sense, yes.
Okay, that's good. And the feeling up to that part of the dream prior to the barbecue observation is that, yeah, this is good. Like this feels really good. This is really bringing something out. Now, the next thing that happens is that the older man, who later on appears in the dream again, says, oh, look, it actually looks more like a barbecue preparation. And the way that you told the dream and the way that most of us listening in would think, oh, that's not really good, is it? Well, it doesn't sound I don't like the idea of that. So just give me a little bit on barbecues. Do you enjoy barbecues? What do you feel about barbecues?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy barbecues. And when we have barbecues, we have a lot of friends over, etc. My partner and I have recently had a little girl. And before she came along, we used to have people over for barbecues really regularly. And in the last year or so, it hasn't quite happened so much. Also, we've just been through winter.
Okay, so there's apart from what I said, which was more of a feeling of if you're going to bring something to prominence, maybe it's sort of not in a laid out barbecue way, maybe it's in a more artistic way. And I do feel that, you know, part of that is there. There's also much more deeper personal meaning, which you've brought into it there beautifully, Lee, which is that for you, a barbecue is a social situation which you enjoy with friends and you enjoy. And I'm slipping ahead to the next dream now, which was a question of friendship and cultural connection. So there's that feeling there. And I guess for everyone listening in, if you don't know already, you know, one of the icons of Australia is the backyard barbecue. So, you know, maybe that's part of our cultural connection thing. So you've got that feeling, Lee, of that something you did before your child was born, your baby was born, was did a lot of connecting with friends and communicating and offering and nurturing through barbecues. And you haven't done as much of that now because you've had a baby and because it's just been winter. So there's a sense at the beginning of your dream that something that I, Lee, haven't had in my life for a long time, which does involve communication and connection, I am thinking of maybe bringing back into prominence as well. So we've got that. Now we're going to just skip from that now to the next part, which is, by the way, the older man, how would you describe his energy in the dream?
Wise and, all knowing and, perhaps nurturing as well.
Oh, lovely. So he's got the nurturing aspect, which the barbecue has as well, in a way. Mm. So he represents the part of yourself, which is wise, all-knowing, whether you know it or not at the moment, whether you're in touch with that or not at the moment, that's wise, all-knowing, and also nurturing. So
he knows this town in China very well.
Ah, yeah, and, that's right.
Yeah, so he's showing me around, so I'm relying on him to show me around.
That's beautiful. So because he's from this town in China, which is mystical, exotic, and has a harsh history, and he obviously probably knew the poet before he was murdered as well, so he's that part of yourself that knows that territory within yourself very well. That's not only wise and all-knowing, but is particularly wise and all-knowing about the mystical, about the exotic, about the spiritual, the metaphysical, the creative. And that is also wise and all-knowing about the harsh history that you've had to some extent, which has led you to understand these things. And so in a sense, it's interesting that you also saw him as nurturing, because you've got the barbecue here. And although to me the barbecue was like, oh, that's awfully laid out and according to a formula, you've also got that thing of, no, actually for me a barbecue is more about communication and friendship and sharing and nurturing. So he, in a sense, in the dream is making this observation, there's something actually very nurturing about you getting back in touch with some, but not all, just some of the body parts of something that you've killed off in the past, and rediscovering it, rearranging it in a way that it will be discovered. So he's saying that's nurturing to lots of people, including yourself, which is the main number one feature of all of this. So there's a sense of nurturing others to nurture yourself there. So then we go on to the second part of the dream, which I really, really love, whether you got the younger. You said you're younger in the dream. Did you have a sense for what age you were in this part of the dream?
Perhaps around 16.
Around 16. And the other girl was about the same age?
Yeah.
Okay. So you felt, and what made you think you were about 16 in the dream?
I think the fact that she was about 16, and I think this was still in China, this part of the dream. I forgot to mention that earlier, and I think after having been around with this wise old man, I was looking for someone around my own age, and met this girl.
So that's okay. That's really excellent. So you were looking for someone around your own age, someone to relate to more, but you were still in China. So, and there was a question. She was fishing, and there was a question that you wanted to become friends. But first of all, she said to you, oh, we can't do the cultural connection things because we come from different cultures, except we can do it if we're both fishing. That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's one aspect there where, because the girl is 16, it may be going back 16 years ago, which would be to 1995. But my greater feeling there is that because you were looking for someone to relate to in the dream and you found her and you thought she was about 16, my feeling is probably that it's drawing attention to something that happened when you were 16. So I'll just give you a moment to think when that was before we go on. Okay, so we're looking back to probably when you were 16, but if not to 1995, because someone that's 16 in a dream can represent something that's been in your life for 16 years. So 16 years ago would take you back to something that started in 1995, but it can also be you when you were 16. So there's an aspect perhaps of you when you were 16 that in the dream sees this as being, she as being Chinese and you being China. So there's still this mystical connection thing. So if you could relate to that poet being murdered thingamajig, I'd say that that probably happened when you were 16 or in 1995, that Chinese cultural mystical exotic thing was killed off then.
Okay, well, when I was 16, I was in boarding school and I remember I wanted to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And for one reason or another, I chose to do journalism over art. And in 95, I would have been 25. That's about when I decided that I wanted to be a scientist.
Mm, So we got it right both ways.
Yeah.
What did you study when you decided to be a scientist?
Well, I kind of fell into remote sensing, which is satellite imagery interpretation. And then from there, I did a master's in urban and environmental planning.
That's very interesting. Urban and just not really going out of track. It sounds like it is, but it's not. But the urban environmental planning is kind of, although it's scientific, is kind of branching into the more artistic side of science, isn't it? Because it's design.
Yeah.
So it kind of began to bridge that gap. I love that so many interpretations I do with people and, you know, listeners will hear them in a lot of the podcasts we do, how often that thing overlaps where you can say, oh, someone in the dream is 16. So that's either when you were 16 or it's 16 years ago. And the person will often come up with something that is right on both accounts. Not just right because you could pick any year and it's right because it's not. I mean, those, as you will see as we go forward with the interpretation, are absolutely pinpoint, vital, center of the universe things about your interpretation. And it just takes my breath away every time how something can be concurrently true for having happened 16 years ago and also when you were 16 and to be so vital to the interpretation. It almost is an endorsement of how awesomely mystical our lives are, not just our dreams, but our lives, how intricate the patterns, how deeply the patterns go, sometimes beyond where logic dare not fear to tread, where logic fears to tread. And you go, that just doesn't make sense, but it does. So we're going to go forward both of these, Lee. When you were 16, you wanted to be an artist, but you went for journalism, which was not science, but was the more kind of rational, well, it wasn't art. Yes, that's right. So there was, to some extent, there was a killing off of the poet there.
Yeah.
And then in 1995, you actually went full on into science, which of course we have at the end of your dream as well. So there's that feeling there of, you definitely killed the poet off there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Except that interestingly, you chose to do remote sensing and satellite, I wrote it down, satellite imagery. Interpretation. I couldn't read the third word.
It's using satellite imagery to work out environmental factors.
Oh, yeah, looking back down at the Earth then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. So you were on the outer edges of science in many ways, kind of up there looking down and using a lot of techniques and science, but also having to fill in the gaps with, I imagine, with imagination and creative filling in of gaps, did you?
Yeah, and there's a lot of, because a lot of it is colour and you're dealing with different colour spectrums and you're having to move colour wavelengths, etc., there is an element of creativity in it because you've just got to be able to interpret so many different shades of red and blue and green, etc. So you have to be somewhat interested in colours and textures to work it out too.
So far, although we'll probably prove otherwise, but so far it actually sounds like you've got the really good, perfect balance there between science and art. But you murdered something off. There was a poet murdered, so we'll have to come back to that. And I love the fact, well, especially now that you've described that more, in that part of the dream you were fishing again, and there was a connection that the thing is we want to be friends, but we can't bridge the cultural gap unless we're fishing. So again, there's that sense of perhaps when you did the remote seeing with the satellite imaging, you were kind of above the earth looking for, you know, above all the cultures in a sense, looking for patterns where where there were meeting, you know, all countries have environmental issues. You know, you're seeing colours across the globe. You're interpreting. You're taking a big step back and looking down at the big picture. There's something there. But what I love there is really about the fishing. You know, when you fish, you're getting life up from under the water. You can't see the fish when you look at the water, so you kind of almost blindly put the fishing rod or device in without seeing. I mean, you can put bait in, you can do a bit of science to decide where it might be a good idea to put the fishing rod in, but basically a lot of it is sight unseen, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And you were even cleverer in the dream because you were describing this time where you fell in love with the idea of not even using bait, of actually it was just the way that you danced the hook, that you created a pattern that captured, or I would say captivated, the Chinese goldfish, because you said at that part of the dream you were telling the girl, "I once fell in love." How did the once falling in love work out with the fishing? I just...
With somebody who could catch fish without using a hook.
Right, that's it. Okay. So I'm seeing that feeling of someone that can catch fish without using a hook, without using bait. It's someone who can do it softly with a dance.
Without using bait it was.
Yeah. So, yes, because you had the hook. So it's without using bait. It's doing it with a dance, with the way that you move the hook through the water, with a vibration. It's almost doing it gently. It's an entrancing and an enhancing. And you said, "I once fell in love," so it's in the past. So to me, this is the Chinese poet again, even though you didn't make that connection in the dream. So the thing that you killed off was this sense of, "I know how to catch a fish." Yeah. Something I can't see, but I know how to, and I don't put the bait out. I don't do it that way. I've just got this gentle enhancing vibration. And that's how I do it. And that connects with the first part of the dream where you wanted to lay out some of the body parts. And I said, you weren't doing it in an assertive way. It's not like, "Here you are, everybody, come and have a look at these body parts." You were like, "I'll just rearrange them this way and then maybe they'll be discovered." So that's more in attunement with the way of, "I'll just dance the hook in this way and I'll captivate." So you've got this energy of, rather than putting something directly out there and plain speaking it, which is maybe the science, I'm just going to lay out and I'm going to attract and I'm going to enhance and I'm going to captivate, which is more the artistic side.
Mm.
Now you went aha there, so would you want to enlighten us at that stage before we go further?
I'm just thinking about what you're saying and about the 16 years and the 16 years ago and creativity. I feel that I did, when I was around 16, I wanted to be an artist, and then I moved away from that, and then going into science, even though I went into science, I decided upon something that still had that element of artistry to it. And so I just feel that I've danced around things that are somewhat creative, and recently I've decided that I'm going to step back from science and do something different, which involves a lot more creativity and a lot more art, and is predominantly art-based. And and I think the harsh comes in here, because I just think I've spent all this time getting degrees and masters and studying and working in areas that kind of tiptoed around the tulips, and now I've decided that I want to do this. And, yeah, so perhaps that's where the harshness comes in.
That's fantastic. Yeah, well, that's that makes perfect sense, and we'll go into that more deeply, and we'll find out what you need to know in order to be able to really make sure that you captivate and you do the very best you can with this. That makes a lot of sense, because of course, yeah, it's hard work getting all those degrees and being harsh on yourself and with all that study as well. So there's this feeling of liberation now with having chosen something more, you know, just gone, "Well, I am a creative person, and maybe there's nothing to prove, and I can just go ahead and do this now," which is beautiful.
Yeah.
The Chinese goldfish, are you, you know, for most of us, I guess we think feng shui. Is that where you're coming from with the Chinese goldfish?
From maybe children's stories, perhaps, or from there seems to be an element of childishness about the goldfish, and it's very shimmery and No, I don't think it's not really a It's more of a symbolic looking fish than a...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it.
It's no, you actually explained it.
It just looks a lot more fantastical than...
Fantastical. Fantastic. No, and you actually described it very well, because one of the first things you said was, no, it feels more like a children's story. And, of course, Lee, at the end, you're reading out from a storybook in the classroom. So we know we're in a line. So what this artistic thing that you're now... So let's now, when we're talking about the art, we've worked out some of its harsh history, and we're now talking about that thing that you have now decided to do to bring your creativity as an artist into the world. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, just cutting in again. I remember now that many years ago, and wow, it could have even been, no, it wouldn't have been 16 years ago, I don't think, but many years ago I went through a phase where I used to draw a lot of fish. And yeah, so maybe there's a connection with drawing those fish as well. I filled a whole notebook just with fish.
Would that have been 14 years ago?
It would have been probably about 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, more recently. And so if you could just get a gut feel, because you must have had one after drawing all those fish, for what all that was about, why you filled so many notebooks with fish, were you developing a character, what was motivating you to, or what was captivating you, to use your own words, to draw all those fish, do you think?
A love for the environment, I think.
A love for the environment, okay. And yeah, go on.
I think it was. It was a love for the environment. And at the time I was doing volunteer work with a wilderness organisation, and it was in water quality protection.
Yeah.
And a lot of the work that... a lot of the remote sensing work that I did have that element of water protection as well, and environmental protection.
That's beautiful. So so essentially that marries well with as a symbol for the environmental side of things. And you actually said there that that you loved that aspect. You loved what did you say? You loved the environmental aspect of it. You had a deep love for it, I think. Yes. You said. And so we then, on those words, go back to the first dream. That same section of the dream where you told the girl that long ago you were in love with someone who could catch fish just by dancing the line. So we've got there the connection with the deep love again. 5 or 6 years ago, you had a deep love with the environment that you were expressing. Yeah. With the symbol of the fish. So we're getting more and more of that closer connection with, it's not just the science of, or the art of the environment or whatever, it's the love that goes with it. And I guess, you know, whatever subject anyone gets involved in their life, for work or for play or for dedication or for, as you said, for volunteering or for anything, it works best if it's something that we deeply connect with, that is a love, that is a passion. You know, it's hard or harsh to work with things that we're interested in but don't really have a love for, that don't have a passion for. You know, so in a sense, you've picked something with this idea that you've got for something creative that has maybe the same sense of love and passion that you had when you were drawing the fish, to symbolize that time as well. So it's a reminder to always have the love and the passion with you whenever you go. And that's why in that section of the dream, the girl is saying to you, look, we can't have a cultural connect. We have different cultures. We can't connect unless we're fishing. So again, it's like that. We can't, you can't really connect with, not with another culture, but you can't connect with your work or your volunteer or your business or whatever unless you're fishing, unless you've got this deep love for something. And you know, yeah. And deeper than that, you said the Chinese goldfish for you was fantastical and related to children or child, you know, children's stories. And again, when we see something as fantastical, or we think back to being a child, you know, children have that sense of awe and magic of deep love. You know, a child will not do something they don't want to do. They only do things that they love to do. So again, it's connecting with a deep love within yourself. So we then go to the third section of the dream, and that's where it's then, well, really staggeringly interesting. You're going in with the old man again, and you've already identified the old man as a part of yourself that is wise and all-knowing, also nurturing. So he goes into a restaurant with you, which is a place where you would eat food. So that would normally be nurturing, but it's not a barbecue situation. It's around the table with a bottle of wine, but still nurturing. So we're kind of going in now. This part of the dream is developing the theme. It's like, okay, we've got this far. We know we've got to have a deep love to really bring this connect, you know, to bring the parts of the dead poet back into life. We've got to have a really deep love and passion around this. So you then take this wise, nurturing and all-knowing part of yourself, or he takes you into the restaurant. And that's where you're going in the dream. Now, hang a minute, I don't get it. He wants to introduce me to someone he's captivated with, but I'm looking at this person and they're boring. That was right, wasn't it? That part?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's like almost there's this part of the dream with, no, there's a misconnection here. You know, you're asking me to love and be passionate about this thing, but it's not, that's boring. You must be wrong. That's the wrong thing. And there's 14 people around the table, which is why I said to you when you drew the fish was that 14 years ago, but I was wrong. So there's something to do with 14, maybe 14 years ago, which would be 1997.
27. Oh.
Nothing jumping out?
Maybe that's around when I left. I used to work basically in government in an environmental, part of the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah.
And natural resources. And that's around when I left. That could actually be the year when I left there.
Mm. And when you left there, how would the word boring relate to your decision to leave the Environmental Protection Agency?
Well, I moved to Canberra. That was pretty boring.
For everyone listening in, Canberra is kind of like the capital city of Australia, and, you know, we all think it's very boring.
It's not like Sydney.
It's definitely not like any of our coastal, big, beautiful cities. Sorry, Canberra. On you go, Lee. You moved to Canberra.
I did for about 8 months.
Mm. Sorry, was that before you left or just after you left the EPA?
Oh, it was just after.
Just after, yeah. So
yeah, it was just after I left.
So you made the big decision to leave the Environmental Protection Agency, and what was the main reason you decided to leave?
Because my manager had a nervous breakdown.
Okay.
And the work environment just changed completely, and I had finished my master's, and I wanted to do something that was a lot more proactive for the environment, and I felt that the job that I was in, the remote sensing job that I was in, whilst it was very good in the way that it basically enforced environmental legislation through the use of satellite imagery. So basically we use satellite imagery to prove cases of illegal land clearing and illegal damming and other environmental criminal neglect. It just wasn't proactive. It was it was quite the opposite. So I thought that, which it was the reason why I did a master's in urban environmental planning, because that was so much more proactive and the scope just wasn't there for me to do it in.
Yeah.
In that department, and a company in Canberra rang me and offered me a job that I felt was more in tune with that. So I took it up, and the job itself was was fantastic, but yeah, Canberra was very boring.
So the job itself was fantastic, which is how you described the Chinese goldfish, fantastical.
Yeah.
And you left the EPA in a nutshell because it wasn't proactive. In other words, to kind of drastically oversimplify that, it was maybe theoretical rather than actually getting results.
Yeah.
So that, again, it's that feeling of connecting with a passion and what you love to do. And if one has a passion and a love, one moves beyond theory, one moves into proactivity, into making things happen. And you also said that along that line there, that something about being in tune and making a distinction between what you were in tune with and what you were not in tune with. And that goes back to the catching the fish by dancing the hook. So to dance, you have to be in tune. To lay a bait is not to be in tune, it's to catch. It's kind of the bad way of doing things. But to change, I guess you could put the metaphor as in changing the world, which is kind of what you're into too. You don't change the world by laying a bait because that creates bad karma, bad energy. Mm-hmm. The person you're baiting or the agent or the bad environmental, people that are doing bad for the environment that you bait doesn't, makes them defensive. Whereas if you sing the tune or you are in tune or you create the harmony or dance in a way that makes other people want to dance with you, then you bring people over to your way of thinking and of seeing so that their action, becomes also proactive and you get the outcome that you want. There's that kind of line in your dream there. So 14 years ago, you went to Canberra. So you were rolling out the idea of, no, I'm going to be more proactive. And there were fantastic, in tune things happening there, but there was also a kind of boring element there. And you were really focusing in the dream there on the bottle of wine. And the question seemed to be, will it be enough to go around us all?
That's right, yeah. And looking back now, that fits in nicely because I left government where the government works or tries to work in a integrated sort of fashion for the private sector, and within the private sector there's just not that integration. Mm-hmm. You do the work that you're paid to do, so you, in the end, you're not going to really, you can be an environmental officer, yes, but you don't get to choose whether you work on the projects that are really beneficial to the environment or the ones that are going to be used to approve environmental degradation.
Yes.
And I think that comes in with the ambiguity with the bottle of wine. Is it going to be enough to go around or is it not?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And I also wrote down by the side there, I didn't know if there was a connection with loaves and fishes because you were talking about fishing before and the bottle of wine. But I mean, that's a parable also about there being enough to go around. So that's why when you said, I didn't know if the bottle of wine was enough to go around, I wrote down, loaves and fishes, that feeling of, and that actually goes with what you're saying there. And also a little bit with what I was saying before, that if you dance the tune, more and more people join the dance and you can change the world in that kind of way. And, I'm not up on my biblical stories, but I think the loaves and fishes, the idea was that there weren't actually X amount of fishes and loaves, but once people went, loaves and fishes, hang on a minute, I brought some in my bag here. Everyone got out the loaves and fishes and there was enough to go around. So I think I learned that somewhere along the line. So there's that feeling too of you for, is there enough wine to go around? Which has the interpretation which you got spot on. And also that the more you pour the more the wine flows, the more, there is enough to go around, and the more you become involved and proactive, the thing just grows from there. So if we then go from there to the last part of your dream, which is, a kind of, because it's in a school and in a classroom, it's almost like putting the learning of all this together. And so, no surprise as far down the track that it's a science class, which actually turns out to be English literature class. And there's the idea that the teacher is outside and freezing, and thinking it's freezing, but eventually, the situation of the classroom is that people are feeling comfortable and warmer and taking off their clothes and settling in, and the environment is much better. It's much more ambient. and nice. Now, there's no windows in this classroom, so it's almost like at the beginning of this part, like, well, what's the view? What's the perspective? I can't see. If you're looking at this from a science point of view, this is a science classroom, I'm not seeing the perspective, I'm not seeing the view, I'm not putting this together. Mm-hmm. But then once you realise it's an English literature class, that and more than that, the kind of window becomes the story that you're telling. You spin the tale there, and even the abbreviations become, oh, I know this, I know the actual names of these. This, and you bring it to life. You bring the story to life by telling it. So there's that actual transition there of almost not jumping from science to go, I don't want science anymore, I'm jumping into art. It's like maybe there's been something in all this harsh, long training and scientific background as well that I'm taking the bits of science just as I'm taking the bits of the murdered Chinese poet, and I'm drawing those forward and I'm putting them more into a storytelling point of view, and I'm bringing in the art at this stage. You know, there's what you're doing is kind of transforming the cold, freezing science with no view into a wonderful, again, captivating story, which you're actually in tune with, and you know far more about it than you realize, because you suddenly realize that you know the abbreviated names, you know the real names. It's this touch of getting back in touch. So at the end of your dream, Lee, did you, without knowing or understanding the dream at the time, did you wake up from that dream going, I feel really good about the fact that I was reading out of the story at the end? Or how did you feel?
I did. I felt that was a really good story. Why can't I remember it? I felt that there was something good going on in this story, and I tried and tried to remember what the story was, and it wasn't long. It was just literally a page or two long, but I just couldn't remember what the story was, but I could remember seeing these abbreviated names and going, hang on, I know these.
Yeah.
I know these names.
I know these. Okay. So, again, it's that sense of, even though it was mystery, it's I know this. This is something I know. I know this. I know this deep down inside me. I know this just like I'm wise and I'm all knowing, and I can't quite get down there at the moment, but I do know this. I know this stuff. And so, you know, that is getting back more into the spiritual, the metaphysical, or the ability that you've got to stand back a long way and look at satellite images and put them together. It's that holistic view, the putting together. It's, I know this. I get the feel for this. If I'm in love with what I'm doing, if I'm singing the right tune, I don't need to understand the individual logical links. I know this. I can flow with this. So there's that sense that, you know, because you particularly mentioned that you've got something new and creative that you're bringing into your life, that in a way this dream has kind of done this massive review of a lot of your life because of whatever you went through in the 2 days before this dream, that is basically saying, why don't you take a lot of all this stuff that you've learned over all these years about science and art and captivating and dancing the tune and all of these things, and putting all that knowing, that even though you may be going out into the world now thinking, oh, maybe I don't know this and maybe I do know, you do actually know it. And go out and sing the tune. And there's an element there of also of making it accessible, either accessible to children or having that fantastical childlike wonder, or fantastical Chinese goldfish. You know, hey, folks, you know, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be having done 3 degrees, however many degrees. It actually can be as simple as a child's story. And sometimes the message gets across as a simple child's story or an allegory. I can do more powerful work if I really love what I do and I tell a simple story than by relying on all my degrees, even though all my degrees have actually got me to this place where I can tell the story. You can't tell the simple story without having been through what you've been through, without knowing what you know. But you come all of that, and you can bring it down to a nice simple story that captivates and dances. So kind of knowing that, how does that relate to what I know you start off by saying, well, not a lot happened in the day or two before that dream. Can you think now what might have come up in the day or two before the dream to really sort of bring in this huge review?
I'm looking at starting my own business, and it's a sort of toy manufacturing business. And I sat down and just did a massive review of whether it would be viable or not. And I realized that I was just basically looking at it very critically, whereas I'd been very enthusiastic about it, and then I just thought, no, let's just, before going any further, let's just sit down and see whether it is viable. And so in that, I really had to think about, if I do want to go ahead with it, what's the opportunity cost? I'm on maternity leave at the moment. So do I, is there the likelihood that, basically, I guess, trying to decide whether I want to continue with the science, the environmental science, or whether I want to step back from that and go with toy manufacturing, or whether there's a way where I can eventually perhaps do both or draw one into the other. Mm. And, yeah, so basically I was thinking about all of that in the 2 days prior, and on the Friday, when it was either on the night before I had the dream or on the day when, after I'd had the dream, I decided that I basically found a different way of operating the business that would make it a lot more viable than I'd initially thought on the Thursday or the day leading up. So I thought, no, I would go ahead with it. I'm really passionate about the idea, and I'm really happy to be able to put a lot more creativity and art into something, which is what these toys would allow me to do. And, yeah, but I was really thinking about the opportunity cost and what that means to my professional career in environmental science.
Well, that makes a lot of perfect sense, and I love that it's a toy business, Lee, because we were just talking about children there and children's stories, and and the Chinese goldfish, which you saw as related to children or a child. So you've definitely got that element in the dream of connecting at a childhood level. And there's a lot of things we talked about in the dream that you could have the choice later on in life, as you said, that you might later on bring the science back in or somehow meld the two. There's the sense that having, I don't know what the toy is, but having developed the toy and gone down that track, your dream suggests that you can put the two together, because you've got that idea of, yeah, we can't bridge the cultural divide, but we can when we're fishing.
And I think also perhaps having thought about it further, and with the bottle of wine half empty or half full, or how far can this bottle go? Mm. How far can you really advance environmentally when you are working as part of a larger organisation, where there's always the bureaucracy of the organisation and of the whole system, really, that you're always up against. And we are in Queensland, which is a heavily mining-oriented economy, and when you're doing environmental work, you're just constantly up against that. And so, maybe within this, within what I was thinking that, is there any point anyway continuing with the professional career in the capacity that I've been doing it, because is it really going to achieve the outcomes that I'm really passionate about, or would it be better if I made my income elsewhere and then liberated some time to do environmental work in a volunteer setting, or in a more hands-on sort of...
That makes a lot of sense, because in a volunteer setting, you're also less restricted as to what you can do and how you can do it. And
absolutely.
And also, by doing anything to do with children, you're bringing up the next generation. So, whether it's built into the nature of your toy or whether it's not, there's something in there that can... at some level deeply influence children who are the next generation, who will then be making decisions about the environment. So you're actually coming in at a different angle. And I agree with you about the wine, and you can take that out of the context of, there's maybe not enough wine to go around when you've got rules and regulations and governments and mining and things to deal with. But I'd quite like to see you take that symbol of the bottle of wine as a dream alchemy, as one of several possible dream alchemy symbols, into your own business and say, but within the sense of my own business, there's as much wine as it's an endless bottle of wine. It's not even half empty or half full. It's actually bottomless.
Yeah.
There's enough. There's more than enough to go around. Yeah. So the only I see in your dream, Lee, that your unconscious mind is 90% with going ahead, and the only things that I can see that you would need to, you know, just check and overcome are making sure that you stay in line with the passion and the deep love that you've got for the subject, making sure that you don't slip back to putting out bait for anything, you know, that in what you're doing, even with your marketing and everything, that you just stop and go, is this bait or is this dancing?
Yeah.
Right. Is this entrapment or is this attraction? Yeah. So that's one to look for. And the other is, as you go forward in your business, again, if there's any aspect of your unconscious mind is pitched in this dream, oh, we can't do that, there's cultural divide, which can also be the cultural divide between the working for government and working for self or whatever. Anytime your unconscious mind brings up with that one, you can counter it because your unconscious mind also has a solution. Ah, but let's remember when we're fishing, when we're doing this with love, passion and dancing and enhancing, we can do this. And when we're doing fantastical, when we're doing children, we can do this. Another thing that your unconscious mind brought up as a possible barrier is, oh no, that's boring. Now we have explored that and looked at it and found a way for you to come through that. But if any time with your own business you go, oh, this is boring, you know, reinvent it, relook at it. Okay, I'm losing touch with the love and the passion. Let me bring this back in. Let me bring back the sense of the child. Also, there's a sense of the storytelling. If you get to any point like that bit in the classroom at the end where you're in a science classroom initially and there's no windows, there's no view, if you get to a point where you think, I've lost touch, where's the view? What am I looking at here, literally? What's my outlook? To go, okay, remember the feeling in the dream, go back to the feeling of telling the story. There may be abbreviations, I may not know the whole thing, but I know that I know this stuff. I know that I can just go on instinct here. I know that if I just keep telling the story, if I keep dancing the tune, it's going to go the right way. So our job is to work out a dream alchemy for you, but do you have any questions that you'd like to ask or anything at this stage or anything else you'd like to say?
It all makes a lot of sense now. It all just seemed like a lot of gibberish when I was writing it down, and I knew that there would be big symbols in there, but it's a bit overwhelming with just how much your unconscious mind can draw on and put together for you.
That's right, it is, isn't it? And that's the, you know, that's the big benefit of looking at a dream, particularly a big dream like this, is that otherwise, you know, we charge ahead and make decisions in life, or we charge ahead and respond to whatever's happening in the world according to all these beliefs and all this stuff under the water in our unconscious mind, and therefore can make the wrong decisions or respond inappropriately. Whereas when you understand yourself that, you know, this much deeply, you're more aware of the decisions you're making and how you're responding, and so you make a better call all the time. So we want to do some dream alchemy to make sure that as you go forward with this new business, because that does seem, listening to you, that seems to be what you're definitely going to do, that you've got something to really make sure that every aspect of your unconscious mind is totally in line with you. So, you know, dream alchemy can be done with visualizations, with storytelling, which I picked because you've got story there, with writing, with art, you're an artist. But which one of these stands out to you?
Something with sewing.
Okay, that's great. Something with sewing. So we've got art and sewing. And we got, okay. S-E-W. What I think I'd love to, the symbol, there's three symbols that jump out to me. One is the story that you just know how to read. That's number three. That in reverse order. Number two is the Chinese goldfish, and number one is the bottomless bottle of wine to me.
Okay, yeah.
And these are all positive symbols. And I'm thinking, could you, with sewing, are you thinking like to sew a toy or a applique or embroidery or clothing or?
I think I could sew an applique or something like
that. Okay, that sounds really good. How about doing something with combining the idea of the bottle, endless bottle of wine, and the Chinese goldfish?
I wonder if I could do a fish sewing and swimming in a bottle of wine or something.
Yeah, like that, but make sure that your bottle of wine has a really big and lovely open neck so that the goldfish isn't trapped, that it can flow, or even have a bottle of wine, or even a Chinese kind of bottle of wine, since we've got that, because I'm thinking, my Chinese knowledge is not very good for ancient cultures, but I'm thinking of like a very wide-necked kind of drinking vessel. Like I'm thinking Ning Vase type thing, that, you know, that so you've got that Chinese thing in it with ever-flowing wine. Like you could almost have a river. You know, I'm thinking your sewing is going to be really good here. You've got a river that flows into the, like a Chinese river flows into the bottom of the bottomless Chinese open-necked wine and flows out the other side and goes on forever. And you've got this beautiful Chinese goldfish flowing from the bottle of wine and out.
I like it.
So do I.
I'm not sure how my sewing's going to match up to the task, but I'll give it a good go.
If the sewing is difficult, convert it to a child's drawing using crayons so you can be naive in your painting, and then incorporate just a tiny little bit of applique, which you then stick on the drawing.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. That might be easier, actually. Yeah. I've got lots of crayon here now.
Yeah. And further down the track, Lee, when you've done the alchemy, you know, and as things happen, please, you know, either just let me know privately how things work out for you, or if you'd like to further down the track, let our blog audience and our podcast audience know more, you can email me and say, look, this is what I'm telling you what happened. This is what I'd like to share with the audience. And if you want to go one step further with that when you're ready and give me the link to your website or your work, and I can say, hey, everyone, remember Lee, this is the toy, this is it. You know, you can go anywhere along that line from remaining totally confidential to, you know, want to using this channel now that you've totally enticed and danced people along to finding out what it was that you eventually did.
Great. I will definitely, let you know how it's going, etc.
Thank you so much, Lee, for sharing your dream. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm sure our audience have, and everybody would have got something wonderful from it, to not only help them to interpret their own dreams, but also just beautiful little nuggets of gold from your dream to apply to their own lives. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for interpreting it. I just can't believe that it's such an apt interpretation when, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Of course, if that dream alchemy inspired you, even though you didn't have the dream, it's such a beautiful story and inspiration. You can always go out and do an applique or an applique, however you pronounce it in your part of the world, or a drawing or a painting or a story about that beautiful river flowing through the Chinese urn with the golden Chinese goldfish swimming out of it. So feel free to borrow from other people's alchemy. We can share it around. There's plenty of bottles of wine around here, plenty to share around, more than enough to go around. But you have had more than enough of me, so I'm going to stop now. Of course, our show comes out every 4 weeks, so the next one up, 120, will come out on Friday the 16th of December, for those of you that are in Australia. And of course, that's Thursday the 15th of December for just about everyone else. Have a lovely month, and I'll speak to you next month for another episode of The Dream Show. I think I better go and have a cup of coffee, fire my brain again. Thanks for listening. Until then, I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.